ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम् सिक्स्थ कैंटो Chapter 15, Text 16. Thank you. And before we go there, our Krishna consciousness movement is meant for cleansing the mind and freeing it from all anxieties. So toward that goal, now is the time to turn off your cell phones. Please. Check your mobile, subby mobile, band kijiye. Tasmad yuvam gramya pasho mama mudha dhyaha Prabhu Ante Tamasi Magnasya Jnana Deepa Udiryatam Tasmad Yuvam Gramya Pashor Mama Mudha Dhiya Prabhu Ante Tamasi Magnasya Jnana Deepa Udiryatam Tasmad Yuvam Gramya Pashor Mama Mudha Dhiya Prabhu Andhe Tamasi Magnasya Jnana Deepa Udiryatam Madhuvam Gramya Pashor Amagyatrabho Ande Tamasi Magnasya Jnana Deepa Udiryatam Tasmad Yuvam Gramya Pashor Mama Mudha Dhiya Prabhu Ante Tamasi Magnasya Jnana Deepa Udiryatam Ladies? Tasmad Yuvam Gramya Pashor Mama Mudha Dhiya Prabhu Ante Tamasi Magnasya Jnana Deepa Udiryatam Tasmat Therefore Yuvam Both of you Gramya Pashoho Of an animal Like a hog, pig, or dog Mama Nay Mudha Dhyaha Who am very foolish due to having no spiritual knowledge. Prabhu, O my two lords, Ante in blind, Tamasi darkness, Magnasya of one who is absorbed. Jnanadipaha, the torchlight of knowledge. Udiryatam, let it be ignited. Because you are great personalities, you can give me real knowledge. I am as foolish as a village animal, like a pig or dog, because I am merged in the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, please ignite the torch of knowledge to save me. Purport. This is the way to receive knowledge. One must submit oneself at the lotus feet of great personalities who can actually deliver transcendental knowledge. It is therefore said, Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyasu shreya uttamam. One who is inquisitive to understand the highest goal and benefit of life must approach a bona fide spiritual master and surrender unto him. Only one who is actually eager to receive knowledge, to eradicate the darkness of ignorance, is eligible to approach a guru or spiritual master. The guru should not be approached for material benefits. One should not approach a guru just to cure some disease or receive some miraculous benefit. This is not the way to approach the guru. Tad vijnanartham. One should approach the guru to understand the transcendental science of spiritual life. Unfortunately, in this age of Kali, there are many bogus gurus who display magic to their disciples. And many foolish disciples want to see such magic for material benefits. These disciples are not interested in pursuing spiritual life to save themselves from the darkness of ignorance. It is said, Om Jnana Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. This gives the definition of the guru. Everyone is in the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, everyone needs to be enlightened with transcendental knowledge. One who enlightens his disciple and saves him from rotting in the darkness of ignorance in this material world is a true guru. Om Jnana Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrasatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanditanscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tatka Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi pranamami hori priye. Vamsha ko pitrubhyascha kripa sindho bhyayevacha padita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tasmad yuvam gramyapashur, mama mudtad tiya prabhu, ante tamasi magnasya, ganadipa udiryatam. This is the way to receive knowledge. Chitraketu Maharaj admitted his foolishness. This is the beginning. Arjuna also, Prichami tvam dharma samuddha cheta. I'm inquiring from you because I'm confused. Dharma samuddha cheta. My understanding of my duty has been lost. Dharma samuddha cheta. I'm completely confused about what I should do. Or completely bewildered about what I should do. Therefore I'm approaching you. Until that time, Krishna and Arjuna were speaking as friends, but Arjuna realized that just friendly talks would not solve his problem, and therefore he surrendered to Krishna. Shishaste sharimam tvam prapannam. He accepted the Lord as his spiritual master and accepted his own position as Shisha, disciple. This is the beginning. Sanatan Goswami, also when approaching Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, expressed the same thing. He was a learned scholar. He knew Sanskrit, Persian, Bengali. He was a highly posted minister, practically running the whole government of Nawab Hussein Shah. So you could say he was a very enlightened person. And people said that. Sanatan Goswami said, they all call me Pandit Ji, they all respect me as a learned person. He was born in a Sarshat Brahmin family also. But Sanatan Goswami said, I'm such a pundit that I don't know who I am. Kayami. Kayamar Tapatroy. Who am I and why are these threefold miseries always afflicting me? For this reason he approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not for some material benefit, not for career advancement, not for health, not for getting a good husband or a good wife or good children or good education for the children, blessings for material advancement. Not for any of that. These are not the reasons for approaching a pramanic guru. These are all small things. These are all things for improving my material situation, for getting out of the prison cell with iron bars and being put in the prison cell with gold bars. Or to stay in my prison cell and have a pillow on my bed, on my iron bed. That's not the reason. That's a useless, foolish waste of time. Just like if you approach some kropati, you don't say, sir, could I have a palm full of rice? He can give you so many things. If you approach him for a palm full of rice, that means you're a fool. So people are approaching a guru, but their idea of guru is someone who will improve my material life so that I'll be happy in this material world. That was Chitraketu's idea. He got the association of a great learned sage, Angirga Rishi, and he approached the sage, "Sir, this is my problem. I don't have a son. This is my great problem in life. Not that I'm cycling through birth and death, not that I don't know who I am, not that I'm suffering from the threefold miseries, but that I don't have a son." That means he was a fool. And he admits it. Gramya Pashur, Mama Muddhadhiya Prabhu. My intelligence has been that of a foolish animal. Gramya Pasho, like a village dog or a village hog or a village cat. There's so many common animals in the village, mostly cats and dogs and hogs. And they're all interested in improving their material situation. They're interested in eating nicely. They're interested in sleeping. They're interested in protecting themselves. And they're interested in sex. So, Chitraketu Maharaj was interested in the same thing. Son means sex. Sex is for having a son, so that they can have sons, and they can have sons, and the whole thing can go on. He was interested in that, the material bodily situation. The son has nothing to do with the spirit soul. But for this bodily advantage, he approached a self-realized person. "Oh, self-realized person, you can give the goal of life, so please give me an insignificant son." That means fool. And people now are even more foolish than that. "Please give me a Rolex watch. Please give me a little gold. Please give me a little magic ash." That means complete fools. They may be government ministers, they may be whatever they are, but according to Bhagavad Gita, they're fools. Namam duskrita namuddha prapadyante naradama maya pratigana asura pavamashuta. Complete fools. So the Chitraketu admitted that I was completely foolish. He was forced to admit it. The first time he met Angirga Rishi, "Please, can I have a son?" "All right, take. The son will be a source of happiness and distress." He didn't even hear distress, he just heard happiness. But now the distress came, the son died, and now he could understand something. Generally, when everything is going great, materially speaking, that is, when the illusion is there that everything is going great, people think there's no problem. But when Maya punishes us sufficiently, then sometimes we understand that this is a problem. And not only one problem, but problem after problem. If it's not a physical problem, it's a mental problem. If it's not a mental problem, it's a social problem. If it's not a social problem, it's an environmental problem. So many problems, one after another. An old age problem, disease problem, and finally, death problem. So person should approach a spiritual master, Jigyasu Shreya Uttamam, not for getting some immediate benefit, but for getting the ultimate benefit, Shreya Uttamam, the highest benefit, the transcendental benefit, the benefit of getting out of this material existence, Mukta Sangha Parambrajate. That's the business of human life. Human life is not meant for getting money, getting a nice house, getting a nice wife, getting nice children. That's not the purpose of human life. That you get, or you don't get. But that's not the purpose. That's not the purpose. Just like I've come to Bombay, I have some purpose. My purpose is not to eat. Eating I was doing in the last destination, eating I'll do in the next destination. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to buy a ticket to Bombay to eat. But eating by Krishna's arrangement, everyone eats. You're all eating, the animals are all eating, the fish are eating, the birds are eating, everyone's eating. That we don't even have to think about practically. Krishna's arrangement is there. But if I come to Bombay and I say, all right, here I am, what about my eating? Everything else to the side, eating. What's on the menu? How much can I get? Where else can I go? Do you have any members whose wives are good cooks? Take me there. That's not my business. I must have come here for some purpose, to do some work. And the eating is just incidental. So human life also, there's a purpose. There's eating, there's sleeping, there's family life. All of that is there. But that's incidental. That's not the purpose. The purpose is how to get out of this material existence and revive our relationship with Krishna and go back to the spiritual world. That's the purpose of human life. Otherwise, eating, the animals are doing. Sleeping, the animals are doing. Sex, they're doing that also. Family life, no problem. We don't need human life for that. We don't need a human life for that. You can do that in any species of life. So the human life is meant for spiritual realization. If we don't use it for spiritual realization, then it's animal life. And Prabhupada used to cite the word dvipadapashu. One who's living without any interest in spiritual realization, he's a human being officially. Why is that? Because he has two legs. Otherwise he's an animal, but he's a two-legged animal, that's all. There's so many four-legged animals, dogs and hogs, but he's very special. He's a two-legged animal. But he's an animal. Yavanna jigyasata atma tatvam. As long as he doesn't inquire about spiritual realization, he's still in animal life. He hasn't yet graduated to the human form, although outwardly he has a human body. Because he's not executing the mission of human life. Just like a policeman, he puts on a uniform, but he doesn't do anything. He's not a policeman. He's a show. If you go to him and say, someone stole my this, someone stole my that, he just looks at you. He's not a policeman. He's just a man dressed up with a costume. So a human being who has this human form of life and doesn't execute spiritual realization, he's wearing the costume only. He's a show bottle human being. He's not the real thing. Because a real human being is the person who inquires about the ultimate purpose, how to get out of this material existence and go back to Godhead. That's the privilege of the human form of life. But manda sumanda mateyo manda bhagya, in Kali Yuga people are so unfortunate that generally they're not even interested, and if they're interested, then they approach some cheater who gives them a little ash, gives them a little gold, gives them a little pep talk about the art of living in the material world. but doesn't direct them to the ultimate goal. So fortunately, Chitraketu got the association of bona fide spiritual masters, Angira Rishi and Chupkurun, huh? Oh, that's Bengali. Kurun. Still in Mayapur.
Hare Krishna.
Fortunately, he got the association of bona fide spiritual masters, Angira Rishi and Narad Muni. And fortunately, he took the position of a bona fide disciple. By admitting his ignorance and surrendering to them, please save me. Please save me. That's the duty of the guru. One should not become a guru unless he can perform that duty. Namochiyet yas samupetra mrityum, to save the disciple from birth and death. And as a disciple, one shouldn't approach anyone who can't do that. There's no use approaching a magician. There's no use approaching a material benediction giver or an official priest. One, as a disciple, one should approach, or as an inquisitive person, as a person serious about the purpose of life, one should approach a pramanic guru. Then that combination of the bona fide surrendered soul and the self-realized spiritual master will result in spiritual realization. If the husband is potent and the wife is fertile, when they get together, they can have a child. If the wife is sterile or the husband is impotent, there'll be no result. So the spiritual master has to be bona fide. The disciple also has to be bona fide. Shabde pare chanishnatam brahmani samupamashraya. Bona fide guru means that he's heard from the previous acharya. He knows the shastra, shabda praman. And he's practically engaged in the service of Krishna. Brahmani samupamashra. He's taken shelter of Krishna. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyasu shre uttamam. Shabde pare chanishnatam brahmani samupamashra. Elsewhere it said shrotriyam brahmanishtam. Same thing. The qualifications of the bona fide spiritual master are, first of all, shrotriyam. He's not inventing something, not a great thinker. He's a messenger. The message that he's received, evam parampara praptam, he distributes, or he transmits to the disciple. Not some mental speculation. Not some ideas for fruitive material advancement or mental speculation. He gives the science of Krishna.
Yes.
Jai Krishna Tattva Veta Shai Guru Vai. The person who knows the science of Krishna, he can become a bona fide spiritual master. The person who's not even a devotee of Krishna is useless. One shouldn't even hear from him. Avaishnava Makod Girnam Putam Harikatam Rata. Shravana naiva kartavya sarvoch chishta yatapaya. Even if he's talking about Krishna, if he's not a devotee of Krishna, one shouldn't hear from him. A Vaishnava guru or nasyat, Vaishnava swapacho guru. Doesn't matter what community he comes from, but if he's a Vaishnav, he can become a guru. And if he's not a Vaishnav, it doesn't matter that he's born in Rishikesh or Hardwar or Vrindavan, that he comes from a great family, that he's got so many degrees from Jawaharlal Nehru university, this, that. A Vaishnava, Guru, Nasyat, disqualified. You're not a devotee of Krishna, you're a Muta. Krishna says that, it's not me. You're Muta, Naradhama, Maya, Pratagana, or Asura Bhavam. Take your choice. But either way, Duskriti. You're a person who's misusing whatever good credit you have. And there are people who do that. They have some capability, but they misuse it to direct people away from Krishna. That means rascal. So Shravana Naiva Kartavya, one shouldn't even hear from them. What to speak of surrendering to them. But when one meets a bona fide spiritual master, then prapadyeta. Prapadyay. Prapadyata means surrendering. It's not just an official thing that I go and I get a name and I get some ashirvad and now I'm a disciple and I do any nonsense. Surrender. Therefore, Prabhupada insisted, no gambling, no intoxicants, no parastri, no meat eating, no, not even coffee, tea, cigarettes, not even fish, eggs, nothing. You must agree to follow these rules. That means surrender. We like to do these things, or some other nonsense. Gambling. Gambling means sports, time wasting. We want to waste our time in useless activities. But the bona fide spiritual master doesn't say, yes, you waste your time in useless activities, and give me a little dakshina, and I'll give you some ashirvads, business finished. No. Surrender. You give up your nonsense. Then you can be a disciple. Shishya means from shastatu. Shastatu means discipline. Just like shastra, which gives rules, discipline. And if you don't follow the shastra, then there'll be shastra. Weapons. And shishya. One who voluntarily agrees to come under the discipline of the spiritual master. If we're not willing to come under the discipline, why waste time? If you apply to the university, it's understood. You're going to attend the classes, you're going to sit for the exams, you're going to do the homework, you'll do the study. If you're not going to do that, why apply? It's useless. That I apply means I'm serious. I'm going to follow the course, do all the work, and then I'll get my degree. So, this is essential. Prapadyeta. One has to surrender to the spiritual master. That means I have to have confidence in the spiritual master. If I don't think the spiritual master is capable, how can I surrender? Why should I surrender? Why should I surrender to someone incompetent? Unqualified. Surrender is a big thing. To surrender my life is no small thing. So before I do that, I should see that this person is qualified. Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. And then, yes, he's caught, then I surrender. Not just official. And not some cheating. Actually, Prabhupada's my guru, but will you give me a name? Will you give me beads? This is all rubbish. One has to become servant of the servant, then servant of the servant of the servant, servant of the servant of the servant. Evam pram praptam imam rajarshiyo vidu. So it's serious business. Because our goal is serious. We're not giving some cheap thing. If you want a cheap thing, just like you want they call it costume jewelry. Costume jewelry means glass diamonds and plastic pearls. So if that's what you're looking for, you go to the corner store, you pay a few rupees, and they'll give you, you know, they'll deck you out. They'll fill you up with this jewelry, and you'll look very nice. But if you want actual diamonds, actual pearls, actual gold, you've got to spend. It's not cheap. Therefore, not everyone goes to those shops where the actual jewelry is sold. They can't afford it. So, the Krishna consciousness movement is not meant for giving some cheap thing. Cheap thing means dharma, artha, kama, moksha. That we teach you some religious rituals, and from that you get prosperity. And when you're prosperous, then you'll get nice sense gratification. And then at the end, somehow you'll get liberation. That's called Kaitava Dharma. And that's kicked out in Krishna consciousness. Dharma prochita kaitavocha parama nirmatsarana satam dejam vastuvam. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant for giving vastu, giving the actual substance. Vastu doesn't mean putting a goldfish in this corner of your house and putting a fountain here and making sure the northeast corner is where your something is. That's not vastu. Vastu means substance. The real substance in life, as distinguished from illusion. The real substance is in the body and the soul. The substance is the soul, not the body. But people are approaching the guru for something to improve the body, or the expansions of the body, Chitraketu, one of the sons. So they're approaching a guru for that. That means, please improve my illusion, because I'm not interested in the substance. So for those people, so many cheating gurus are there, and they can go. But there has to be at least one movement where the real substance is delivered. So that's the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. The ultimate substance is Krishna, and our substantial relationship is our eternal relationship with Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Every one of us is servant of Krishna. When we revive that relationship as loving servants of Krishna, then we're in our healthy condition. Then our problem is solved. Then we go back to Godhead. That's what's offered by the genuine spiritual master. And the intelligent person who meets such a spiritual master surrenders and becomes the qualified disciple. So that by the combination of qualified disciple and qualified spiritual master, perfection can be achieved. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Microphone.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much for your class. I met one devotee, so he was practicing Krishna consciousness for long time. So, but then while conversing with him, he said that when Krishna will reveal himself, and accordingly then I'll choose spiritual master.
When Krishna reveals himself, what?
When Krishna will reveal, then he will tell me who is my spiritual master.
Okay.
Then I will accept.
That's all right. When Krishna reveals to you, you'll accept the spiritual master.
So then, I couldn't understand that revelation is vague term. So how to understand that, how Krishna reveals someone as...
When you're serious. Not that... When Krishna reveals to you, you'll accept the spiritual master. What are you going to do in the meantime? while you're waiting for Krishna to reveal this to you, what are you going to do? Eat, sleep, mate, and defend? If it were money, you wouldn't say, I'm waiting for Krishna to send it. If it were lunch, you wouldn't say, I'm waiting for it to come. Right? If it's money, you'd be actively pursuing it. If it's food, you'd have an interest. You'd say, well, you know, which direction? But for a Pramanic Guru, you're going to sit there and wait till he reveals. Tesham satatajuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogamtam. For the person who is seriously pursuing Krishna consciousness, Krishna reveals. Yayatam mam prapadyante tam stataiva vajamyam. As one exhibits his seriousness to serve Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. Dhruva Maharaj. He was frustrated in getting the kingdom. Then his mother told him that I can't do anything for you, but if God helps, then you could get the kingdom. All right, where's God? Well, sages go looking for him in the forest. I'm going. Of course, he had a material motive, but he wanted to find God, so he didn't say, well, yes, good. I'll get my kingdom when God helps me, and all right, I'll just wait till he helps. I'll sit here in the palace and wait. No, he actively went out, doing tapasya, actively searching. Otherwise, you're not serious. You're not serious. But we ask people, why don't you give up your material life and become Krishna conscious? And they say, yes, when he desires. He already desires. Sarvadharman Parityajya, he told you clearly, rascal, give up all your nonsense and surrender to me. And when someone gives you that message, you say, yes, when he desires. His desire is already there. It's your desire that's deficient. So Krishna sends a bona fide spiritual master when you're serious. If you're not serious, why will he send? He may send anyway, but you can't depend on it. Even in the Bible it said, seek and you shall find. Don't sit around and find. Seek. If you're looking for a wife, you go look. If you're looking for money, you go look. If you want food, you go look. And you want a guru and you're going to wait till he desires. That means you're not serious. Yes.
That is a continuation of the same question. Even if somebody is seriously engaged, so how would he understand that, okay, this is Krishna revealing to me now, my spiritual master?
It's not sentimental. There's a science. Not that he looked at me and I knew he was my guru. Not like that. If you need an electrician, you don't just wait for revelation to strike you that this guy walking by is an electrician. especially, you know, not just a mystery, but if you want somebody to do, like, the wiring for this whole building, you see who's quality. You go look, first of all, in the right place. You approach the place where the electricians are to be found, right? And then you see what are your qualifications, what jobs have you done, who can recommend you. Have you done this job before? Right? You don't just wait for revelation. Even for a cook, you don't just wait for revelation to strike you. Oh, this man looks like he'd be a fantastic, right? Why all of a sudden revelation? Everything else is intelligence, discrimination, knowing the qualifications, seeing if the thing matches. Like Prabhupada was talking the other day, I was hearing, that if you want to buy such and such chemical, like if you're in the pharmacy business, so there's a book with all the chemicals, and it says, this chemical has this qualities. It's powder, and it tastes like this, and it's like this, and it's like this. And then if you get the thing that has all those qualities, then it's that chemical. Otherwise, it's not. It's some other thing that they substituted. You have to know what the thing is, what its qualifications are, then you buy. Now, people don't know what a guru is, and so they buy anything or they wait for revelation. Revelation means Krishna's revealing to you through Shastra. He can reveal two ways, through your heart or through your Shastra. But the heart is unreliable. I'm following my heart, and that's why I'm in trouble to begin with. My heart is polluted by the three modes of material nature. So, more reliably, Shastra is there. Shastra yoni tvat. One should know what is what. Karya karya vivastato tasmad. What is that? Shastra pramanam te karya karya vivastato gyatva shastra vidhanoktam karma kartam iharasi. Krishna is telling Arjuna how to know what to do and what not to do. Karya akarya vivastato. How do you know? My dear Arjuna, just wait for the thunderbolt to strike you and revelation to descend upon. No. Shastra praman. You learn the science from Shastra and act accordingly. So the beginning is to approach a bona fide spiritual master. For that, you have to know what a bona fide spiritual master is. Therefore, Prabhupada is giving so many books. Anyone who reads these books will know what a bona fide spiritual master is. Any one book, read any one of Prabhupada's books, you'll know what a bona fide spiritual master is. Not because you'll say, oh, here's, but you'll see, he tells you. It's like you go to the airport and they have those signs that say which flight is leaving at what time. So what are you going to do? You're going to wait for revelation or are you going to look at the sign? Oh, I'll wait for revelation, of course. That means fool. The sign is there giving authorized information. This flight leaves from this gate at this time. And because it's coming from the authoritative source, you trust it and you follow. So the Shastra is giving direction. What is a pramanic guru? So you apply that information and you'll understand what is what.
Well, just to ensure that I have understood correctly, you mentioned clearly that the revelation means the moment when he gets to know how to identify a real guru.
That's revelation. I mean, anything revelation. You want to know who the guru is. You want to know who you are. You want to know who God is. That's all revealed. But how is it revealed? People expect some sort of magic show. that the guru will touch you on the head and you'll pass out, you'll faint. And when you wake up, the guru will be crying because he's transferred all his knowledge to you and now you'll be enlightened. You know, they want some sort of magic show like that. But that's not how Krishna enlightened Arjuna. My dear Arjuna, I'll touch you and then I'll faint and you'll have knowledge and blah, 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 blah. We'll both faint and you'll wake up enlightened. Gyanam teham savigyanam idam vakshami asheshata. I'll speak to you this knowledge. And by hearing, you'll know. Imam vibhashvate yogam. How did Vibhishan get it? How did Manu get it? How did Ikshaku get it? They heard from the previous authority in the parampara system. That's revelation. You want to know, my watch is missing, but if I have my watch here, I want to know what it is. I asked my father. My father says, that's a watch. It's revealed. The father is the authority. He says, my dear boy, this is a watch. Now you know it's a watch. Revelation is not so hard or so spooky.
Like people sometimes they give this example that... Some devotees, sometimes they give this example that how my spiritual master came in their dream and that is how Krishna revealed my spiritual master to me and now I'm going to surrender to this personality.
Oh my goodness, if I followed my dreams, I'd really be in trouble. Your spiritual master came to you in a dream. That's all right. Dream is fine as long as it's in line with the Shastra. If you have a dream, and in your dream Krishna tells you to surrender to the person who's his devotee, who's Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam, fine. Otherwise, he tells you in the dream to surrender to, you know, this lady, this, I have nothing against ladies, but, you know, there's some bogus guru, he realized that some lady was the mother of the universe, you know, just popped into his head. The dream means inner revelation, but that inner revelation has to be checked against the Shastra. If it matches the Shastra, follow your dream. If it doesn't match the Shastra, it's a nightmare. Anything else? Yes. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna
thanks
Krishna,
for the nice provision. It must be a blessed one, and because you really draw a lot of crowd.
I think I drew the big crowd because it's Sunday. I don't think it has anything to do with me.
And also, we appreciate the disciplining of the cell phone, and which needs to be reminded. And it was very peaceful this morning. And in the context...
If you can just turn off your cell phone, you're 50% liberated.
In the context, I would like to say something which is the opinion of many visitors, particularly the one-time visitors who come from the foreign visitors or from the other parts of Mumbai. They say that photography is prohibited here. And they say, and we take photography with the cell phone all the time. And in front of them, the photography was going on. The local devotees had no problem, just flashing on, going on. But they were in the opinion that, I like to take the photograph, but I don't want to steal in the temple. This will be like a stealing. Prohibition, I want to take it. So he didn't take it. And since I heard it, the similar things may come to many of the devotees. They say, we'd like to go back to our country, and so to our friends, or relatives. That's a nice thing. But the sign is prohibiting them from taking it.
Well, this is a management question about the sign that says no photography. Like all laws and rules in the state or in your family or in a temple, they're meant to achieve some practical result. So on the one side, it's wonderful, everyone takes pictures and everyone can take home a beautiful photograph of what they saw or a video, and it's all, everyone's happy. On the other side, the temple becomes a place where everyone's flashing lights in your face all the time, where people are standing in front of the altar with their hands up like this, blocking everyone's vision so that they can take a picture, where people are more interested in being photographers than devotees. You know, you'll meet, we see this, people meet some big man and they're interested in, they meet like a sadhu. They meet a sannyasi, a sadhu, a devotee, and what is their objective? To have their picture taken with the sadhu. Right? Not to ask pointed questions on how to solve the problems of the of life, but to stand next to the sadhu and have their wife take a picture. So these are some of the problems with photography. Photography can be a wonderful thing. From what I understand, the photographs are available, and right? So the photographs are available. Everyone can get better photographs because your little iPhone will only take so many pixels by so many pixels. So you go through this way and you get the high-resolution, first-class photograph of Radharasa Bihariji, and you give a donation at the same time. Time? Yeah, well, there's one thing is there are official photographers from the temple who are taking photographs to upload to the internet so that 2 million people a day will see them. That's one thing. But there are also amateur guys who come and you know, they're devotees, but they're shooting. So that's what you're talking about. I won't talk about the consistency of law enforcement in Radharasa Bihariji Temple. I'll leave that to the management. Whoever, wherever the microphone is and whoever's... But Prabhuji here didn't ask a question and he has been waiting.
Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed Mahamantra to all, whether they desire or they do not desire. So, this, in order to impart knowledge and to receive knowledge, both spiritual master and disciple should be bona fide, correct? But
correct.
In actuality, that may not happen, Maharaj, in the sense, you see, anyone who takes birth in this material world, he is a Chitraketu first, and then he gets the jnana. So, suppose a materialistic person approaches a bona fide spiritual master with material desires, don't you think it is his responsibility to see that, you know, the jnana is imparted to him? And
someone approaches a spiritual master with material desires, don't I suppose that the spiritual master will be interested in giving gyan to him? Spiritual master is interested in giving gyan, but he's not interested in receiving it. There's a mismatch. You want to give me knowledge, but I want to have my picture taken with you. You want to give me transcendental knowledge, and I want your blessing so that my wife's health will improve. That's the problem. So the spiritual master may make a project of it, just like Angirya Rishi. He gave some blessing, but he waited for the right time. When you're completely smashed, I'll come back. Now you're just looking for some material ashirvad. So all right, ashirvad. But when the ashirvad turned into a disaster, then Angirya Rishi came back. Now would you like to hear some knowledge? So sometimes, of course, Krishna conscious preachers, they try to give people knowledge regardless. Actually, therefore, we're giving Harinam. You just take this chanting of Hare Krishna, whether you think it's a joke, or you think it's a this, or you think it's a that, you want to enjoy, or whatever it is, just let it go in your ear. Because the Maha Mantra is so great that if it enters the ear, it will start to clear up the heart. Therefore, when we go to speak, our program is we chant Hare Krishna, so the heart will be cleared up a little bit. Then we try to get some knowledge in there. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving this Maha Mantra to everyone. And to some who come forward, then further explanation. Or we're giving people, in spite of themselves, we're doing everything we can. We're giving books. Take this book home. Take this book home. Even read a page, but take it home. So we're trying to give a donation. Even if you somehow give this much. What will it do? Because you gave something to Krishna, so there'll be some reciprocation. So we're trying in different ways. Please, please, please be engaged in Krishna consciousness, one way or another. So many, we have a life membership scheme, we have a this donation scheme, we have a this scheme, we have a scientific institute scheme, we have a that this scheme. We're all scheming. The devotee is scheming how to bring people to Krishna. And material world, everyone's scheming how to avoid Krishna, so there's some competition. The devotees are trying to out-scheme Maya's arrangements so that people, and it's a simple, our basic scheme is chant Hare Krishna, hear something from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, associate with the devotees, see the deity, take some prasadam. Simple thing. And if people take it, they'll be benefited. They can get not only benefited, the highest benefit. TK? Okay.
Hare Krishna. Well, it's continuing the same line of revelation. Generally, because Prabhupada has given quite clear and enough philosophy to distinguish between unauthorized and authorized gurus. That becomes quite, you know, evident. But practical difficulty in the life of practicing devotee comes when they have authorized spiritual masters. Amongst them, they have to choose one. Then sometimes they feel little difficulty.
It's called in French embarras de riche. It means so you have so many choices, all of them good, that it's hard to choose. So you see, first you have to see that the thing is, you want a car. So first you have to see that it's got four wheels, that it's got an engine, that it runs. Then you decide whether you want this car, that car, this car, that car. And that's what Rupa Goswami calls the detail. Someone accepts this person as guru, someone accepts that person as guru. As long as they're Vaishnava guru coming in the parampara system, following, he's heard from the authority, he's following in his life, then this choice, that choice, or the other choice, that's up to you. Like here in Bombay, we have a temple in Chopati, we have a temple in Mira Road, we have a temple in... You come where you want. They're all bona fide temples. Someone wants to go to that temple, someone wants to go to this temple. They're all good. You'll benefit whichever temple you visit. But don't go visit the demigods. Was that the end? Did we reach the end of the questions? No, we didn't. Okay. One here, one there. And then we'll stop, right? Because it becomes late. It's already become late.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
We have known now...
I'll reveal to you how to use the microphone. You speak right into it.
You have clearly explained the revelation of a bona fide guru. But on the other hand, bona fide person who is to take the initiation or anything except the guru. So how he has to exactly check that he
the spiritual master has to see, is this person serious? Therefore, it's not, generally speaking, Prabhupada instituted this system. It's not that you come and say, can I be initiated, Swamiji, and Swamiji looks at you and says, oh, nice boy. No, are you following? Have you been following for a year? Has the temple president recommended you for initiation? That way, to see that you're serious. Or if he's with someone face-to-face, but because it was a big society, so have you been recommended, and so on. Otherwise, face-to-face, he'll see. Is this person following, or is he nonsense?
Just many times it feels like, whether we personally feel like, I personally feel like, whether it is that person has recommended, whether I am really bona fide or not. So that is the dilemma.
Then you have to decide, are you bona fide or not? Bona fide or not means you're going to be asked to make these promises. Are you going to follow them? If you follow, you're bona fide. The doctor is going to give you a prescription. You eat this, eat this, eat this, don't eat that, and take 3 pills a day. Are you ready to do that? If the answer is no, forget going for the medical treatment. He's going to prescribe something, this diet, this medicine. Are you ready to follow what the doctor says? If you're not, don't waste your time going. If you are, then you're a bona fide patient. It's also not like a spooky thing, who's a bona fide disciple. The person who'll follow. No, 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 and no, and one yes, and you're fine. That and dedication. It's not just 4 things, 5 things, but serious dedication. Are you willing to follow? If you're willing to follow, you're bona fide. There was one more question in the back.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You said that spiritual master needs to be bona fide and the disciple also needs to be bona fide. So while surrendering to spiritual master, does the disciple needs to be bona fide before and after that he can surrender, or once the disciple surrenders to some spiritual master, after that gradually he becomes bona fide?
Do you first surrender and then become bona fide, or do you become bona fide and then surrender? First you have to be bona fide, then you surrender, then you become more bona fide. Not that you approach and you say, you're going to be asked to promise to follow these rules. If you're going to say you're going to follow, you have to do that. You can't sit in front of the deities, in front of the fire, in front of the guru, in front of the Vaishnavas, and promise to do some things that you have no intention of doing. That's an insult to the Vaishnavas, to the fire, to the deities, to the guru, and to yourself. So you're going to be asked, do you agree to follow these principles? So you have to be convinced that, yes, I will do this. Don't make a farce. Just like bona fide husband. He's going to marry. It's not this modern thing that I'll try it out for a few weeks or a year and see how I like it, and if I don't like it, then I'll divorce. That's shameless. Bona fide husband means, I'll take responsibility. I'm marrying you. I take responsibility for your whole life. That's husband. If you're not going to do that, don't play a game. Pretend to be something you're not. She has to be the wife, you have to be the husband. So the responsibility is on you. You know what you're going to be asked to do. If you're willing to do that, that's the course of treatment. Are you willing to take the course of treatment? If you're willing, then you're bona fide. Bona fide doesn't mean you're cured. It just means we admit you into the hospital. But once you're admitted in the hospital, you take the course of treatment, you'll be cured. Then you're really bona fide. You're healthy. But at least you have to be the bona fide patient. I'm willing to follow what the doctor says. I want to be cured. The person who thinks he's not sick is a bogus patient. The person who thinks he can cure himself is a bogus patient. A person who won't follow the directions of the doctor is a bogus patient. He has to have faith that the doctor knows the science of medicine. I'm sick. I need a doctor. He's a doctor. He knows the science. What he tells me to do, I'll follow. That's the requirement for entry. And once he enters, then if the doctor is qualified, we can expect that there'll be a good result. Because the doctor is qualified, the patient is qualified. So your initial qualification will bring you to the highest qualification. Is that okay? Okay, I think we're supposed to stop here. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.